Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Sup, Troy. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're just skanking out to that really hard out. It's just get our styles, eh?
It's just such a jolly tune.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, so but you've got some records from Southbound Records. How are you going with this fuel issue? The dug up fuel pipe, the Avgas, meaning that I mean a company like yours, a boutique record store like yours with specialist interests, you'd be wanting stuff coming in from overseas daily, wouldn't
That's
you?
Right.
The cargo, the crates coming in. Where's our package? Where's the package, yo? Where's the package? And has the package been affected?
Where's our 25 boxes that we should have had on Monday? They're not there. Luckily.
Anything left to sell?
Well, yeah, because we luckily work a few weeks in advance, so
contingency. You see, yeah. if only some of the fuel companies have been so had the foresight that you people there at Southbound Records have got. Tell us what you've got for us today, Troy.
Well, you'll remember a few months ago when I brought in the new Burial single. I think
loved
it was yeah. Temple, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a moment, wasn't it?
It was. What was it? The one with the ratchet sound. It was great. It was like an amazing little sound design narrative type thing. And of course, last week we heard about the brand new Burial single called Rodent.
Rodent. Well, let's pull it out of the bag there. Ooh,
oh well, it's because you'll notice.
Oh, it's looks- a 10-inch. 10-inch.
It's a 10-inch single from Burial.
That's so early 90s. Or mid-90s, 10-inch, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've done 10-inch. I've got a few Burial. I've got a Burial 10-inch somewhere before, I'm sure I do. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm making that up.
Or maybe you're just remembering seeing Sub Temple, which looked exactly the same as that.
I found one at home. Maybe how old is Hyperdub as a label?
10 years.
Maybe it was an early Hyperdub 10-inch somewhere along the way. Anywho, this one here is Burial there. It's, once again, nondescript. Not a lot to see or do on the cover. Burial, and there's the A is Rodent, and B, Rodent, the Code 9 remix. I'll hand that back to you now because I've got a feeling it's going to be creepy.
Well, you're going to be surprised.
Okay, so here it is, Burial, Rodent.
Come here, man. What will I do without you?
There's a beat.
It still delves into a very particular type of imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Tell us a wee bit about Burial for those people who don't know, Troy.
Well, there's the thing. No one really knows anything about Burial, except there's been the two Burial albums, there's been a number of singles, there's been a remix of Goldie. No one really knows if the guy whose photo has appeared once is in fact Burial.
What's going on?
I like that about it.
Is Burial a 68-year-old woman?
Could well be.
Is Burial a collective of Malay boat people?
Is Burial 3D from Massive Attack?
Is Burial Rob Bollocks?
If you measure this beat, it's 120 beats per minute. That means to me, dance floor. Burial
it's
for the
house,
dance floor.
That's house, yep. Yeah. Quite pleasant. Trippy, but pleasant.
Yeah.
Johnny, your thoughts? You just kind of lost in it there for a second, weren't you?
It's good.
I thought, oh, were you listening to something else?
It's my impression of Burial is heavy and far out and somewhat inaccessible. But this, to me, is, you know, pretty easy going.
Normally, too, this is only 4 minutes long.
That's right.
I suppose he's going to fit it in that 10-inch.
On the flip side, Code 9, label boss of Hyperdub, Code 9 remixing it, he makes it into more of a sort of a fractured drum and bass sounding thing.
Which is quite Code 9.
Yeah, pretty Code 9.
Cobra the K, by the way, if you're looking that up. So I said Burial is like taking K. I assume you mean ketamine?
A to the K.
Acid to the ketamine. Oh, no. I'd hate to mix them, though, says Paul. Does that mean you'd hate to mix the record or you'd hate to mix ketamine and Burial? Ooh.
Now,
just to be clear, folks, ketamine is a tranquilizer and anesthetic. It's not to be taken recreationally, just to be safe.
Saxophone.
Oh. See, the ketamine's it up. Thank you for that saxophone warning, though, Drury.
Come here, man.
Who's that? What's that woman saying? What? Come back to it. I didn't hear what you said. What? Mysterious, isn't it? It's mysterious stuff, Burial.
I've always wondered if the vocals on... I mean, it's always the same kind of vocal sample on Burial records. I've always wondered if it's, in fact, him slash her voice put through something.
Well, she's forgotten that she's left a bit of vocals on there or something.
Something like that. I mean, because you never go...
You think you're saying Burial might be an eight-year-old boy?
Could be.
Hey.
Oh, a lot of people hunt. Look, people like to hunt down samples, eh?
You never hear where Burial samples come from.
No, you never
do.
You never do. All right, so that's Burial with the track Rodent on 10 inch.
Are you not waiting for the saxophone again?
Well, there's 17 seconds of track left.
Oh, it must be on the Code 9 remix.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, that's a hidden saxophone there. Saxophone for experts. Okay, all right, so that's a moment.
So that is our worldwide tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice, actually. Just it was a bit unsettling, but, you know.
All Burial singles, they press once it's gone, it's gone. So we'll have these on the shelf.
How many do they press?
I think it's something like 1,000 maybe.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good.
For worldwide.
Right, well, you've got yours.
I have. This is it. Right, are we going to do this one next?
All right, Christian McBride's Big Band. Tell me about Christian McBride.
Christian McBride is he's primarily known as an acoustic bass player. He's one of the guys that sort of emerged in the late 80s and 90s and become, you know, sort of the...
That sort of acoustic bass?
Yeah, you're pretty much that guy. It's not the only thing he does. I think there was one or two albums where he's... Give me some more of that. There's one or two albums where he's played electric bass and done more sort of soul influenced stuff, but and usually in his trio he'll play the acoustic bass, and in this big band, which apart from doing all the arrangements and direction, he plays the acoustic bass in this, as you can see on the picture.
Good looking big band. The track's called the album's called Bringing It, and it's short. I mean, this is a how many are there? 1, 2, 3.
I think you find the 17.
17 artists on there in the big band. One female, and one smiley guy. Who's this guy here?
I don't know who that guy is, but he's happy.
Smiley, eh? He looks like, sort of like the guy that introduces James Brown. But yeah, so there's the big band. I'm amped for this.
Weirdly enough, Christian McBride did play for James Brown. For
did
a
he?
Time, yes, he did. Yeah, he's played with. He's playing.
If anyone needs me to do any stand-up bass impersonations at their house for Christmas,
there you go.
Do Christmas carols and stand-up bass.
This is the second Christian McBride big band album. The first one won a Grammy or two Grammys, I think.
So this is a bit. You've talked this. This has got. It's got a big talk up. We've got all those artists. We've got. It's called Bring It.
It's got a big long intro as well.
Let's put the intro on. What the one we're hearing is. I mean, it's not standard. So you'd expect a boring big band would do standards.
Yeah.
This here is a cover of McCoy Tyner's Sahara from 1972. Right, McCoy Tyner, who we know is the piano player for John Coltrane in the 60s. He covers Freddie Hubbard on here, but not like one of Freddie's big pop tunes, Thermo from The Body and the Soul, 1964. So what he's done is he's taken, like, I guess rather than standards, he's taken tunes that he's liked or has some personal connection to.
And really bumped up the jam.
Yeah. Now, Sahara by McCoy Tyner on the album version, it takes up a whole side and does indeed start with this kind of piece. But that's not what the arrangement of the big band is all about. John said there was a long intro. He's right.
Yeah. We're city to sea now. We're Sahara.
We are, yeah.
All the colourful and exciting sounds and feels that make up that exotic part of the world.
Where is the Sahara?
Sahara Desert.
Northern Africa.
Northern Africa, that's right.
When I was younger, the idea of a big band just turned my stomach and made me just think of the most boring, cheesy nonsense that you could ever think of.
Ah, then you met the Roger Fox Big Band. Or the Continental Brass Band. Here they come! The band's in town. Here we go, let's go. That's awesome. Not my tempo, not my tempo. Right, this, and we're now into the track, are we?
This is it. What I like about this kind of stuff now is that it's fairly contemporary sounding as well. Like, this is not a million miles away from Kamasi Washington, who also has a different kind of big band.
We were talking about Kamasi Washington yesterday on Ready, Steady, Learn, actually, when we were talking to Ron about the jazz school here at Auckland University. See, I could just see this is satisfying, putting down a record like this on the player in the afternoon and just letting it play.
Oh, hell yeah.
I feel like I'm in a big show. I feel like it's a big hit show, and this is the first, you know. You just sat down, the lights have just gone down, and this is the first performance. Maybe like the Emmys, the Oscars, or something like that, you know?
The other thing about it...
with your host, the Old Have! He'll be here in a sec. So, Troy, tell us more.
About the big band or just about something else? I'll tell you something about this. Is
that the big band for a second, anyway.
People of our age group might think, oh, no, jazz has not really been anything in our lifetime. But, of course... Those of us who watched television in the 1970s, we were basically everything we were hearing.
Megilla, gorilla for sale.
Not just cartoons. Think of like even watching stuff like Heart to Heart, which I know you would have watched.
Together they were murder.
So like things like that. It was like it was usually like an orchestrated jazz soundtrack to these TV shows.
Even the Hulk.
Probably. This record here. It's
Chips.
On.
Even Chips. Now, Chips is more sort of snappy disco shitty stuff, wasn't it?
No, it still had kind of...
The Love Boat? Love Boat had a bit of jazz in there.
Yeah.
The Jazz Boat.
The label which has released this, Mac Avenue, I think this might be a fourth or fifth record that McBride has done on Mac Avenue. It's a label we've just picked up for this country. They've got a lot of good stuff, and in fact, we'll be hearing more in the next few weeks.
But, all right.
This one is, I think this is a tremendous record. Double album.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great smorgasbord of sounds there for an afternoon, isn't it? Or evening?
We've hammered it in the shop. It sounds really good in the shop.
I bet it does. I bet people buy stuff when it's on.
Oh, here we go. Listen to this. Saxophone.
I'm listening to that stand-up bass. Yeah, you get saxophone, good cheers. All right, what have we got next? What's next?
The next is
I'm going to finish a radio show one day, walk down the stairs and get clonked over the head by a saxophone, eh? That's how I'm going to go. All right.
Here is the next record.
Oh, speaking of creepy covers. My word. Young lady, what are you doing?
Now that is the question.
Chelsea Wolfe, Hiss Spun.
Chelsea Wolfe,
oh my God.
BFM listeners are going to be familiar with some of the stuff she's done that have been the station's played over the years.
Let me pass this over to Johnny, a younger man. See what he thinks. That says to me, beyond help, almost.
It looks like something out of The Grudge or one of those Japanese horror movies.
It's definitely, if you walked into that room at Spookers, you'd be scared shitless. Yeah.
See, one of the things I've really liked about the... I don't know anything about the person Chelsea Wolfe.
Nor do I. Nor do I.
I also have never seen a photograph of Chelsea Wolfe which is not on one of her LP covers.
And, really?
Yeah, never.
This is like Kiss back in the day when they used to wear makeup all the time, eh?
No, I don't think it is.
Because she looks a lot scarier than Kiss.
She does. This is, I think this is the fifth album now, and she's like ranged from doing stuff which has been sort of weird, like totally weird, lo-fi sort of death folk sounding stuff to some quite industrial sounding things.
Whatever that is, yeah.
See, yep. I mean, you're just put off by this cover. It frightened you a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It's basically just her wearing some black clothes.
If you just moved in with your girl, with a girl and, you know, started a relationship sort of thing, and then you came home early and that she was in the corner hunched up like that, wearing whatever that is, and just going... You'd just fucking bail. You would bail. You'd be gone.
And you
call the police and get the hell out of there, burn all your stuff.
Regardless, I don't know.
wouldn't that be the safest thing? I mean, it's not like, would you like a drink? What's wrong?
You wouldn't.
You just go. You just bail.
You wouldn't move in with something.
You don't
like
know,
that
though, Troy. You don't know. There's people. You get to know people over time, you know?
Yeah. Which, interestingly enough, is not what the vocal of Chelsea Wolfe sounds like. She's a...
Someone just texted him, really? I like quirky women.
Good on you.
Yeah, okay. All yours then, buddy.
Hispun, really? The one we're holding here is the limited edition exclusive colour on oxblood and black vinyl.
Oxblood!
And here's something.
Mellow!
the only country in the world that managed to secure any of the oxblood copies, apart from the United States, is this one.
Good on you, New Zealand. Once again, yep. Slamming them.
Which everyone, there's been a lot of upset about the fact that there wasn't enough to...
America's Cut, blah, blah, Chelsea Wolfe album, yeah, whatever. What's next? Bring it on.
Okay, what does this record sound like? Well...
We've been playing this track on air, I think we have been.
I think you have, haven't you?
Here it goes. Have a listen to this, Mr. I Love Quirky Women.
See how you like your life in the minor key.
Nice bass line. Bit Nine Inch Nailsy, isn't it?
It's pretty unambiguous. I mean,
yeah. It's got great sounds. That's... I just have to correct myself. That was a Ms. actually who said, "Really, I love quirky women."
I think it.
Sorry. All right, my good woman. Thank you. I mean, I think this is great music. This and for professionals, you know, it's,
yeah.
Not to be taken lightly, but it's great music. We haven't got a rundown on last night's top 10, do we, Johnny? I know that Chelsea Wolf was snappy around the top 10 there for a while too. The BFM top 10. Death metal vocals are hilarious, aren't they?
Sound just like a monster. Do you eat rocks? Are you gonna eat me?
So the track's called Vex, and according to the Google, Vex is make someone feel annoyed, frustrated, or worried, especially with trivial matters.
I don't think there's anything trivial about Chelsea Wolf, really.
No. The only thing I don't like about that song is that death metal vocal at the end.
I don't mind that.
Death metal's hilarious.
It creates a nice sort of counterpoint to the way that her her vocal is like put way back in the mix and in the reverb.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Maybe I wasn't really listening to what it was saying. Maybe it was saying stuff like, "Would you like to go out and get a drink?
What are you doing in the corner of the room?
Yeah, stop freaking everybody out. Everyone thinks you're a weirdo."
I think she's a really great artist. A really
How many albums is that she got?
Five.
I've never heard of anything until I returned to BFM. I was never introduced to the wonderful world of Chelsea Wolf. Now I might be an idiot, I might be blind to it, or I might just be scared of her. But I'm just saying.
Well, there's been Apocalypses.
That sounds like a good one.
That's my favourite one, actually.
Apocalypses?
Yeah, Abyss was the last one. What came before that? There's one which is just...
There's one called Cheer Up, is there?
No, there's not. She doesn't strike me as a depressed or depressing person.
It's sort of like Nine Inch Nails. It's just exercising a few demons.
Yeah, and it's unambiguous. It's like,
finding her space in the wonderful world of music. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also an acoustic album she did.
Like, wow, cool.
Which is really cool. And, of course, that one I mentioned first, what was it called? The Grime and the Something, which was this lo-fi, like I said, death folk. But it's cool. It's pretty cool.
Now, this Oxblade version that's only available here and in the States, how many you got, brother?
How many have we got? I think we might have five.
Five, all right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. They're on the shelves now at Southbound Records. Thank you, Troy. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.